knows that.
Even if he knows, of course, even if he knows. Because it is the duty of his father.
Uh-huh.
He should have paid khums from the money. Now that he has given the same money to his son, of course, he is not supposed to do anything about the money. He does not have to pay khums from the money he received from his father.
Mm-hmm. Because it is considered as gift.
It is considered as a gift in the
of course, case. Based on the intention of the donor.
Yeah, of course. It depends on the donor's intention, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, dear brother Sheikh Javed, for your nice answers. And thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. In case you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can follow us on social media. Just type Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, fi aman Allah and goodbye.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
وإنما خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي صلى الله عليه وآله.
The words of Imam al-Hussein عليه السلام in dialogue.
صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the son of the Lady of Light, the esteemed Fatima, the son of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the grandson of the esteemed and honorable Prophet Muhammad, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, the beacon of light which guides towards salvation and prosperity, the one who addresses Allah on the day of Ashura, saying, "In so many difficulties and sorrows, I have unburdened myself upon you and brought my grievances before you, O Allah. This is because I lean on you and I am inclined towards you. I tend towards no other." Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, the master of martyrs, these are his words. Imam al-Husayn's words with Umar bin Sa'd. O son of Sa'd, woe unto you! Do you intend to fight me? Do you not fear Allah, to whom is your return? I am the son of whom you know. Do you not want to be with me? This is indeed closer to Allah, the Sublime. What are you insisting on? May Allah kill you at your home very soon and not forgive you on the day you are resurrected. By Allah, I hope you will not eat of the wheat of Iraq, but a little.
As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifina'i alayka.
Dear audience, now let's listen to some parts of Ziyara al-Nahiya al-Muqaddasa. Stay tuned.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. السلام على الحسين الذي سمحت نفسه بمهجته.
Peace be upon al-Husayn, who sacrificed himself up to the last drops of the blood of his heart.
As-salamu ala man ata'a Allah fi sirrihi wa alaniyatihi.
Peace be upon him who obeyed Allah secretly and openly.
As-salamu ala man ja'ala Allah shifa'a fi turbatihi.
Peace be upon whom Allah placed a cure in the soul of his place of martyrdom.
As-salamu ala man al-ijabatu tahta qubbatihi.
Peace be upon the one under whose dome answer to supplications is guaranteed.
As-salamu ala man al-a'immatu min dhurriyatihi.
Peace be upon the one in whose descendants are the imams after him.
As-salamu ala ibn khatim al-anbiya. As-salamu ala ibn sayyid al-awsiya.
Peace be upon the son of the seal of the prophets. Peace be upon the son of the chief of the executors.
As-salamu ala ibn Fatima al-Zahra. As-salamu ala ibn Khadija al-Kubra.
Peace be upon the son of Fatima, the radiant. Peace be upon the son of Khadija, the great.
As-salamu ala ibn Sidrat al-Muntaha. As-salamu ala ibn Jannat al-Ma'wa. As-salamu ala ibn Zamzam wa Safa.
Peace be upon the son of the low tree in the outermost boundary of heaven. Peace be upon the son of the Garden of Refuge. Peace be upon the son of Zamzam and As-Safa.
As-salamu ala al-murammali bid-dima. As-salamu ala al-mahduki al-khiba. As-salamu ala khamisi ashabi ahli al-kasa.
Peace be upon him who was saturated in his blood. Peace be upon him whose tents were violated. Peace be upon the fifth of the people of the cloak.
And now let's listen to Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bayna sta'in. Sallallahu alayki wa abdillah. Assalamu alayki wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is an episode of the program Dialogue, and I'm Dr. Fakhr Rouhani explaining to you some aspects of the movement of Imam al-Hussein al-Islam. When Imam al-Hussein al-Islam was in Karbala, he met Umar ibn Sa'd. Please note carefully that Umar ibn Sa'd was the commander of the Umayyad forces in Karbala. First of all, Umar ibn Sa'd had received the mission to go to other places in order to, to conquer other places. However, being dispatched to those other regions, the Umayyad governor of Al-Kufa, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, told him to go to Karbala and to confront Imam al-Hussein al-Salam. And upon returning victoriously back to al-Kufa, he would be sent, he would be dispatched to other regions. And then Imam al-Hussein al-Salam intended to rescue Umar ibn Sa'd. Imagine that Imam al-Hussein al-Salam intends to rescue the commander of the enemy army. And this is very important in this regard, in the sense that this attitude of Imam al-Hussein al-Islam to rescue everybody, whoever, whether friend or foe, is very much significant in the conduct of Imam al-Hussein al-Islam. Then, in a short conversation between Imam al-Hussein al-Islam and Umar ibn Sa'd, Umar ibn Sa'd indicated that, he was very much in anticipation of receiving such and such rewards from the Umayyad hegemony and the Umayyad system, the Umayyad hegemony. Then whatever Imam al-Hussein al-Salam explained it to him never worked on Umar ibn Sa'd. Then Imam al-Hussein al-Salam gave him this reproach and indicated to him that upon martyring him, upon killing him and his men, Umar ibn Sa'd would never reach felicity. Wished for him to be killed, to be slain on bed. And this was an anticipation of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam that came true. What's important in this regard is that Imam al-Hussein al-Salam intended not only to rescue Umar ibn Sa'd, rather Imam al-Hussein al-Salam intended to rescue a human being, whether his friend or his foe. Those who were friends of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam were already in the line of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam and in the camp of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam. However, we find that those people who were on the wrong side, on the enemy side, on the Umayyad side, Imam al-Hussein al-Salam wanted to rescue them. It follows that Imam al-Hussein al-Salam was the Imam of rescuing everybody, even and especially his foes, because nobody would render the slightest service to Imam al-Hussein al-Salam unless he or she would receive the rewards from Imam al-Hussein al-Salam, both in this world and in the world hereafter. As-salamu alayka, ya Abu Abdullah. Thank you.
As-salamu alayka, ya Abu
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Dialogue. We hope that you remain under the auspicious grace of Imam Hussein today and always.
ولك مني.
In the limelight.
Google, one of the largest and most influential organizations in the modern world, is filled with ex-CIA agents. Stay with us for an article in this regard, written by Alan McLeod, journalist. This article is published under the heading National Security Search Engine. Google's ranks are filled with CIA agents. Here's the story. Google, one of the largest and most influential organizations in the modern world, is filled with ex-CIA agents. Studying employment websites and databases, MinPress has ascertained that the Silicon Valley giant has recently hired dozens of professionals from the Central Intelligence Agency in recent years. Moreover, an inordinate numbers of these recruits work in highly politically sensitive fields, wielding considerable control over how its products work and what the world sees on its screens and its search results. Chief amongst these is the Trust and Safety Department, whose staff, in the words of then-Google Trust and Safety Vice President Kristi Cangallo, decide what content is allowed on our platform. In other words, setting the rules of internet, determining what billions see and what they do not see. Before Google, Cangallo had been President Obama's deputy White House chief of staff for implementation and is currently chief of staff at the Department of Homeland Security. Many of the team helping Cangallo make calls on what content should be allowed in Google searches and on platforms like YouTube were former CIA employees. For example, Jacqueline Lepore spent more than 10 years at the CIA, where she served as a leading U.S. government expert on security challenges in South Asia and the West Asia region and go-to writer of quickly needed papers for the U.S. president. She joined Google in 2017 and is currently a senior intelligence collection and trust safety manager. Between 2010 and 2015, Jeff Lazarus was an economic and political analyst for the CIA. In 2017, he was hired as a policy advisor for trust and safety at Google, where he worked on suppressing extremist content. He moved to Apple in 2021. Ryan Foggett spent 8 years as a CIA officer. Then in 2019, Google convinced him to leave and become a senior manager of trust and safety. As a director of trust and safety, Brian Weisbard led teams that adjudicated the most sensitive YouTube trust and safety escalations globally and enforced the most urgent and highest priority misinformation and sensitive content decisions. Between 2006 and 2010, he was an intelligence officer with the CIA. He is now a director at Facebook. Like Lepore and Lazarus, Nick Roseman concentrated on Iraq while he was a CIA analyst. Since January, he has been a senior manager in Google's Trust and Safety Division. Jacob Barrett, Google's global lead for safe browsing operations, was an analytic lead and open source officer at the CIA between 2007 and 2013. and a 12-year CIA political and leadership analyst, Michelle Tvorovsky, left the agency in 2019 to take a job as the intelligence analyst lead in trust and safety at YouTube. The problem with former CIA agents becoming the arbiters of what is true and what is false and what should be promoted and what should be deleted is that they cut their teeth at the notorious organization whose job it was to inject lies and false information into the public discourse to further the goals of the national security state. John Stockwell, former head of a CIA task force, explained on camera how his organization infiltrated media departments the world over, created fake newspapers and news agencies, and planted fake news about Washington's enemies. "I had propagandists all over the world," he said. This continues to this day, with the CIA promoting dubious stories about the so-called Havana Syndrome. And all this is to say nothing about the coup attempts on foreign governments, the drug and weapons smuggling, and the worldwide network of black sites where thousands are tortured. Furthermore, many of the ex-CIA employees listed participated in some of the worst crimes against humanity of the 21st century, the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq, and are clearly proud of it. So while there is admittedly a limited pool of qualified people for roles in cybersecurity, it is wholly inappropriate that Google is employing so many spooks to run their most sensitive, influential operations. And it is especially troubling that so many of the individuals mentioned throughout were plucked directly from the CIA to work at Google, a fact that suggests that either Google is actively recruiting from the intelligence services or that there is some sort of backroom deal between Silicon Valley and the national security state. Elizabeth Murray, a retired intelligence agent who spent 27 years at the CIA and other intelligence organizations, explained how Google might benefit from hiring former spies. "By snagging a CIA employee, a company can save a considerable sum," she told Mint Press, noting that these individuals have been highly trained and likely have a security clearance, something that is exceptionally different to attain in civilian organizations. In terms of benefit to the CIA, a CIA officer could spend several years acquiring a unique set of skills at a social media conglomerate and then return to the agency, paralyzing their newly acquired expertise to the benefit of the agency, Murray added. Even if there is nothing explicitly nefarious about this relationship, it still means that Google will start to think like and see problems the same way as the CIA does. Google has become immensely powerful, transforming itself into a behemoth that dominates online communication, commerce, information gathering, entertainment, and more. But Google is different. You can ignore or choose not to use those other platforms. Google, on the other hand, is far too big to escape from. An inordinate amount of Google's intelligence and security teams appear to come from the intelligence and security services. These include the following individuals: Deborah Witowski, who between 1999 and 2018 rose up the CIA's ranks, becoming chief of staff to the director. She left the agency for Google, where she is now vice president of global intelligence. Chelsea Magnant also left the CIA for Google in 2018, leaving an eight-year career as a political analyst for a job as a global threat analyst for the tech giant. Young Sok Lee spent 22 years at the CIA, leaving to take a position in global risk analysis and global security at Google. In May, he was promoted to become a director, and so many other people in the list. The professional background of so many of his security and risk management staff may go a long way to explaining why Google seems focused on countering threats from official enemy states of the United States. This is despite the fact that the United States is carrying out the largest and most extensive attempt in history to manipulate the internet. A long expose in Newsweek last year detailed how the Pentagon alone fields a clandestine army of at least 60,000 individuals whose job it is to ruthlessly run national security state propaganda campaigns online, calling it the largest undercover force the world has ever known. The expose explained that there are the cutting-edge cyber fighters and intelligence collectors who assume false persons online, employing non-attribution and misattribution techniques to hide the who and the where of their online presence while they search for high-value targets and collect what is called publicly accessible information or even engage in campaigns to influence and manipulate social media. Thus, it is clear that former CIA personnel are deeply embedded within the Silicon Valley giant. Of course, Google is a huge company with thousands of employees. It could therefore be argued that it is unsurprising that some number of former national security state agents work for it, especially those who have the rare and highly developed skills necessary to preside over user privacy and safety. But this tolerance of spooks in the ranks is not applied evenly. Indeed, the very idea seems absurd. Yet dozens of Google employees casually note on public websites that they worked for the CIA and appear to see that as entirely unproblematic. Therefore, this relationship is, at best, inappropriate, and at worst, a U.S. government power play to control cyberspace. Google users frequently say they want more agency over their data, but the only agency they get is the central intelligence kind.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir Al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudi was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati,
there is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamari that he says in Farsi, "Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRib English Radio Call of Islam page. This is the teacher, an introduction to the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shia dignitaries, scholars, and ulama. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahdavi and Dr. Fakh Rouhani. Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Dr. Farhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum and thank you.
At the very beginning of this program, I would like to express my condolences on behalf of myself and all the staff of Call of Islam page, iRib English Radio, for the arrival of the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his faithful companions. That's why I decided to dedicate this series of the program in the month of Muharram and Safar to the scholars whose one of works, at least, is about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And for today's discussion, we want to talk about Ayatollah Muhammad Baqir Qaini Mujtahid Birjandi, mainly also known as Muhammad Baqir Ayati and Muhaddis Birjandi, the author of the magnum opus Kibrit Ahmar fi Sharaat al-Manba. Sheikh Mahtawi, let's start with you, brother. Give us some information about the biography of Muhammad Baqir Qaini Birjandi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Also, I would like to express my condolences on the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his loyal companions. Regarding Ayatollah Sheikh Muhammad Baqir Qaini Birjandi, we have to say that this outstanding sheikh is born to a religious family in one of the villages of Birjand, which is located in the east of Iran. Then when he was 12 years old, he goes to Qa'an, actually the the closest place for the studying near to their villages. And then from there, he moves to three religious cities, starting from Mashhad. Then till he is 20 years old, he stays in Mashhad. And then from there, he goes to Najaf, stays for a couple of years over there, benefiting from the great ulama, Mirza Habibullah Rashti.
Yes.
And also Marhum Akhund Khurasani. You know, to have the name of these great scholars as your teachers, it will express that where you are, I mean, how you have benefited from the knowledge of the great ulama of Islam. And then he moves to Samira. So we have a sheikh who has compiled the experiences and knowledge of the scholars of three main cities for Shias, namely Mashhad, Najaf, and also Samira. And when he was in Samira, he benefited from the founder of the seminary of Samira, Mirza Shirazi,
that's right.
Yes, and then he comes back, when he is done with his study, he comes back to Iran and start his lessons and also going up the member. And the main book that today, inshallah, we have dedicated our program with, Kibritul Ahmar fi Shara'at al-Member, is talking about the rituals, customs, and adab of the member. All for the one who is going up the member and those who are benefiting from the member.
They say that he had also mastery over the fatwas, we can say, and verdicts of the other denominations of Islam, up to an extent that he establishes dialogue and conversations with them, answering them based on their own reasonings and their own books. It shows that he was really a high caliber Ayatollah and Shaykh on that time. But as I said, since we are in the month of Muharram, and we want to talk more about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, we are looking for an excuse to talk about him. What the best excuse than an author who compiled a work, or it's better to say his magnum opus, on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Dr. Fakhrouhani, Kibrit al-Ahmar fi Sharaat al-Minbar, we can say is the outstanding work of this man, Muhammad Baqir Qaini Birjandi. What is this book exactly?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sallallahu alayki wa abdullah, assalamu alayki wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One of the outstanding features of the Shia denomination in the whole Islamic world is that a member isn't merely a pulpit or isn't merely a podium for delivering lectures. Rather, member is a place or a space given to a high-ranking cleric, Shia cleric, in order to educate people, in order to give them informal education.
Very
because
good.
I mean, education can be divided into formal education, as one may receive in high schools or universities, in contrast to informal education, which can be gained, I mean, in mosques, masajid, or Husseinias and so on. From this perspective, it must be indicated that when such a great dignitary like the late Ayatollah Qaini Birjandi, I mean, dedicated a book on the, I mean, qualifications or the necessary traits that any cleric must have in order to deliver a set of lectures on religious topics.
That's right.
I mean, while ascending minbar, it indicates that this space shouldn't be left without its own standards. Rather, yes, it must be quite well disciplined.
Especially when it is about Imam al-Hussein, yes, alayhi salam, because the passionate aspect of, yes, the story of Karbala.
And
of
it, it proves more influential,
yes,
for people.
Yes.
Okay. Because ordinary people may not accept anything when you say to them in the street. However, when they receive the same piece of information while listening to a lecture given to them from, yes, the top of a member, okay, they would, in a great majority of cases, they accept.
Okay.
In this book, Kibrit Ahmar has got two main sections.
Yes.
Two major sections. One of them is concerned with the qualifications and status of member, and another one is the benefit and the virtues of giving advice to other people. Backed and supported by Quranic verses or authentic hadiths. And then another one, second chapter of the book talks about who may have the qualification, the right qualification, both from the point of piety or from the point of knowledge to ascend a member in order to deliver a lecture from there.
That's all right.
The third chapter of the book talks
about... So there are two parts. Part one consists of four chapters.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Chapter three talks about the qualifications expected from the audience to have. They must be ready. They must be a state of alacrity in order, yes, to receive these lectures.
Okay.
And mainly, what must be observed in any commemorative session held in memory of the Ahl al-Bayt. And the fourth chapter of the book talks about, various qualifications expected from a well-designed member,
yes,
in order to be, okay, influential for people.
That's all right.
Yes.
And the second part, I think we have,
yes,
some pieces of, okay, advice, how to,
yes,
preach for Imam al-Hussein or something like that.
Yes. In the second part of the book, three important, topics or, standards are given in that, okay, how, for example, the sad aspects,
yes,
of,
okay,
the life and times of the infallibles should be given.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is concerned with some other characteristics are concerned with the guidance oriented aspects of,
yes,
delivering lectures,
okay,
and how to manage
the, that's right,
the member,
because direct.
Yes, yes.
A nice ceremony for Imam al-Hussein.
Yes. For example,
yes,
university professors, when they enter their own, mm-hmm, classes, okay, they,
okay,
must be able how to,
okay,
start the lecture,
yes,
how to develop the topic and how to come to a conclusion at the end of the session.
That's all right.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من
Sheikh Mahtavi, so we can say in this way the member and giving a speech on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on a pulpit for the orators and we can say the speakers and the presenters is really a serious task, as Ayatollah Bijandi believed in, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. That is a serious task, and it gives more emphasis when we look at the position of Ayatollah Bijandi.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some average level scholars may author some books regarding Imam Hussein, but when you see a scholar who has reached the level of ijtihad and got permission from outstanding scholars like Mirza-i Shirazi for the ijtihad,
yes,
then under the supervision of his ustad, that it is because it is mentioned that Mirza-i Shirazi is indicating, or it's better to say Mirza Shirazi is offering that with this knowledge and this skill for you, it's better to start writing. And when he offers the first copy of his book, not specifically this book, but the one of the book, because his books reach 70 volumes in different fields of studies.
Yes.
So with this position to master different knowledges and different sciences regarding the religious sciences, you see, we have the book regarding the how to observe the conditions and situation in relation to Minbar al-Hussein.
Or Majlis al-Hussein.
Yes, or Majlis al-Hussein. So it will emphasize the position of this point.
Yes.
That is not an easy task to be taken by any scholar any level.
So you mean it needs its own experts in order to go on Minbar and give a speech, and not any, maybe not any type of, we can say, a scholar or an alim is capable or talented enough or powerful enough in a speech to give on Minbar, especially in the case of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, which we can say has the passion and the knowledge and the historical, we can say, knowledge is very much needed.
And sometimes we see that there are some distortion.
Okay, very good.
Have taken place,
and distortions, that's
right. In the history of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his martyrdom and his loyal companions. Okay. So you have to reach the level of expertise in order to differentiate between the truth and false stories. That's why we see one of the subjects that he deals with in his book is about the distortions.
That's why. Continuing the path of his master, Muhaddis Nuri, on the book Lolo Var Marjan, you know, Lolo and Marjan, because that book was also about answering such deviations and distortions which found their way into the story of Karbala and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And unfortunately, sometimes on the manaber and the majalis of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam are being reiterated, which are absolutely wrong. And Muhammad Baqir Birjandi, can say, tries to answer such deviations, distortions, and misunderstandings about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in Kibrit Ahmar fi Sharait al-Manbar. What does Kibrit Ahmar refer to over here in this title?
Yes, this Kibrit al-Ahmar, as we have the equivalent in English, Kibrit al-Ahmar, better to explain it for our listeners, means that stone that magician were looking after in order to change copper into gold. So it's a metaphoric name,
although
it's got its literal meaning, red sulfur.
Yes.
But the metaphorical meaning of that is that stone that they were looking after in order to change copper into gold.
So you mean Muhammad Baqir Mirjandi can say,
to make a shortcut
Okay. If someone wants to get a Minbar, and being a nice presenter on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he needs to make his copper into a gold, isn't it?
Yes, and whatever he is in need of, find it.
Okay.
Find it in
order to improve yourself, is better to say. That's all right. Really nice title. Dr. Fakhwani, anything missed about this book or Sheikh Muhammad Baqir Birjandi?
One point is that, I guess, synopsis of the book, or for example, a brief version of these books should be put into English.
Yes.
Because, I mean, nowadays we find that in English-speaking nations, some Shia orators send members or go to the podium in order to deliver lectures.
Yes.
And in order to prevent them from making some inadvertent mistakes, it's necessary to provide them with this kind of experience, related or, for example, reported in this region of the world. Perhaps some of these, anecdotes or suggestions may help them not to go astray while delivering such lectures. Yes.
Especially nowadays that the members are replaced with some of the virtual, we can say, on the social media member or something like that. But we know that the member for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam needs its own qualifications, the starting point, we can say, the stories that are mentioned, even the eulogies and the elegies and the lamentations that are done for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam have their own etiquettes. So all of these etiquettes have to be observed according to religious laws and Islamic laws. And if they are not observed truly, they are deviated from the right path.
Certainly.
That's all right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhwani and Sheikh Mahtavi, for your presence in the program, the teacher about Muhammad Baqir Birjandi, the author of the magnum opus Kibrit al-Ahmar fi Sharaat al-Minbar, which was about the best qualifications, or better say, attributes of giving a good lecture on the minbar about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. This outstanding man, that is the late Ayatollah Muhammad Baqir Birjandi, passed away on Zilhijjah 14, the year 1352, according to the lunar Hijri calendar, at the age of 56. His body, we can say, was taken to a Madrasa Ilmiya, or Islamic school, Islamic seminary of the Birjand called Masumiya, and he was buried in a special chamber or gravesite, which is, we can say, place for them, and he was buried in the school, in the same school. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man and all the people who dedicated their lives to write and to work on the Islamic sciences, Islamic knowledge, especially about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, this true legacy for the whole Muslim world to learn from and to benefit from. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher, to another episode and introducing another Shiite dignitary who compiled a work, at least, about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. God bless you all. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah al-Hussein.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره، همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother. My name is Muhammad. After returning from the Battle of Siffin, Imam Ali gave certain pieces of advice to one of his sons. Historians consider him to be Imam Hassan alayhi salam, while others are of the opinion that he was Muhammadul Hanafiya. He wrote this letter in the form of a will. They deal with almost every aspect of life, which goes a long way to make a man successful in life, brave, humane, generous, virtuous, and pious. Today, I'm going to read to you an excerpt from the last will of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. My dear son, take care to provide well for your future abode. Do not barter away eternal blessing for pleasures of this mortal and fleeting world. Do not talk about things which you do not know. Do not speculate about and pass verdicts on subjects about which you are not in a position to form an opinion and are not called upon to do so. Give up the way where there is a possibility of your going astray. When there is danger on your wandering in the wilderness of ignorance, possibility of losing the sight of the goal which you want to attain and of reaching the end aimed at, then it is better to give up the quest than to advance facing uncertain dangers and unforeseen risks. Advise people to do good and live virtuously because you are fit to give such advice. Let your words and deeds teach the world lessons of how to abstain from wickedness and vicious deeds. Try your best to keep away from those who indulge in vices and sins. Fight whenever required to defend the cause of Allah. When you think of defending the cause of Allah, do not be afraid that people will laugh at you, censure your action, or slander you. Fearlessly and boldly help truth and justice. Bear patiently the sufferings and face bravely the obstacles which come in your way when you follow truth and when you try to uphold it. Adhere to the cause of truth and justice wherever you find it. Try to be well-versed with Islamic jurisprudence and theology and acquire a thorough knowledge of the canons of this religion.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program is To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Dear friends, Imam Ali alayhi salam and his universal persona, this persona which has surpassed the pages of history and has surpassed the time and eras of centuries gone past. But the realities that the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is, and the realities which he speaks about are realities that also surpass time and age. There has always been a difference between the knowledgeable and the ignorant. And we learn from Imam Ali's universal persona about the characteristics and qualities of those that have chosen the path of ignorance. Imam Ali speaks about these individuals and says that they are entangled in the confusion of doubts, like one who is entangled in the spider's web, not knowing whether they are right or wrong. The individual, if they are correct, they fear that they might have made a mistake. And if the person is wrong, they hope that they are correct. And so this individual ends up being ignorant, wandering astray in ignorance, and riding on carriages aimlessly, moving in the darkness, and they don't even try to find the reality of knowledge. We find, dear brothers and sisters, that this is one of the characteristics and one of the attributes that have been given to us about the ignorant by Imam Ali alayhi salam and his universal persona. This idea that an individual who is engulfed in the darkness and the veils of ignorance really is lost aimlessly in the darkness. They don't know that they are correct, and they don't know if they are wrong. As an individual, every single one of us must try our best to seek out knowledge, for if we do not have the appropriate knowledge in our lives, we will remain in these veils of darkness and will never be able to distinguish between truth and falsehood, and we will not be able to distinguish between right and wrong. And here, as Imam Ali alayhi salam said, one of the fundamental qualities of an individual who is ignorant is that they do not try to even find and search for the reality of knowledge. And so we should learn from this that at every single point of our life, we must be in search for the reality of knowledge and wisdom. Of course, the source is Allah, and the teachings are given to us by Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. Another profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRib English Radio, the program To My Brother. I'm Atta, the producer of this program, and at this moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم فاستجب دعائي واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan, and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master, and my Lord. Welcome, my friends. Keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant.
refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible, verily, thou art able to do all things.
إنك على كل شيء قدير.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I would like to take this opportunity